You're listening to GI Insights on ReachMD. And this episode is sponsored by Fresenius Kabi. Here's your host, Dr. Brian McDonough.
Welcome to GI Insights on ReachMD. I'm Dr. Brian McDonough. And joining me to discuss the use of multi-chamber bags as an alternative to traditional compound parenteral nutrition, or PN, is Dr. George Philip Ayers. He's an associate clinical professor at the University of Mississippi School of Pharmacy, as well as the Chief of Clinical Pharmacy Services in the Department of Pharmacy at the Mississippi Baptist Medical Center in Jackson. Dr. Ayers, thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Dr. McDonough, for having me.
So, Dr. Ayers, could you start by telling us how we typically manage PN today and what limitations are associated with traditional compounded PN?
Sure. So I have seen a change here. I started in nutrition in the 1990s where we saw multidisciplinary teams, physicians, pharmacists, dietitians, nurses actually involved in the process. So we move from that now, seeing more disciplines like maybe a dietitian or a pharmacist actually ordering or prescribing the parenteral nutrition. Certainly a change that we've seen overall in nutrition support. I would say in terms of parenteral nutrition and compounding, there's certainly compounding that still occurs, especially in larger hospitals, but many hospitals now are outsourcing compounded parenteral nutrition. They find it more, from a financial standpoint, more advantageous for them to do that. And we've also seen an increase in the use of multi-chamber bags in the United States. Really started with some of the product shortages that we saw initially, and now more people have incorporated those into their formulary and using multi-chamber bag parenteral nutrition as part of their practice.
With that being said, let's turn our attention to multi-chamber bags, or MCBs, which have been drawing attention as a potentially safer alternative. According to a review published in Nutrients in 2024, five hospital-based studies and one home-based study reported that MCBs were well-tolerated and provided adequate nutrition. Additionally, three hospital-based studies reported that MCBs had lower post-operative infections and a lower mean risk of catheter-related bloodstream infections. How do you interpret these findings, particularly for patients who are critically ill and require complex nutritional support?
Yeah, I think there's some key findings here. Number one, being able to meet the nutritional needs of the multi-chamber bag parenteral nutrition, I think, is huge. The other findings, obviously, reduction in infections, where the catheter-related infections in general is also interesting as well. And so we know that may be due in part to less manipulation of the parenteral nutrition bag when we're compounding. We're talking about a very complex medication here. It can have up to 40 or 50 components. And so in that compounding process, you're making a lot of additions to the bag. If we're compounding in a multi-chamber bag, there are less additions, less manipulation of the bag. So that may be playing a role in terms of reducing the infections that we would see by using multi-chamber bags. There are also some key things here too that are not mentioned in the study. We do know that once, or we do a better job in terms of tight glycemic control or glucose control, that certainly plays a role, and catheter care as well. If we look at our critically ill patients in the United States, I think we can take a look at the overall acuity of these patients, their needs, and oftentimes we might be able to meet not only nutritional needs, but the electrolyte needs of these patients that are critically ill. So I think it's, again, something that we all want to look at our own institution. Does it fit your patient population? Looking at the acuity of your patients, I think, is also important when you're considering incorporating multi-chamber bag parenteral nutrition into your formulary.
Now, in addition to safety, MCBs may also help improve clinical workflows, and this is seen in a different study published in the Journal of Parenteral and Enteral Nutrition in 2021. The study found that three-chamber MCBs reduce pharmacy staff time by 62% and overall cost per bag by about 37% compared to hospital pharmacy compounded bags. From your perspective, how do these time and cost efficiencies translate into broader operational and safety improvements?
Again, in the time we're in healthcare, you're always looking at opportunities for cost savings. I think this article did a very nice job of covering that, not only material, but labor cost as well. So if we're using these multi-chamber bags, so we can incorporate those into our practice, potentially we can take those pharmacists that we're maybe using to compound parenteral nutrition, and we can redeploy those pharmacists to the patient care unit for more direct patient care responsibilities, which I think is always good and better for patient outcomes as well. And in terms of standardization, I think that's really important too, looking at these multi-chamber bags. Again, anytime you standardize a process, you certainly reduce the potential for error And this is, again, a high-risk medication by the Institute for Safe Medication Practices. So it's a medication that can cause harm if used incorrectly. So it's very important that we do what we can to reduce the potential for errors that occur in the use of parenteral nutrition. So that certainly by using a multi-chamber bag PN, we can potentially do that.
For those just tuning in, you're listening to GI Insights on ReachMD. I'm Dr. Brian McDonough, and I'm speaking with Dr. Phil Ayers about how multi-chamber bags can help reduce parenteral nutrition risks. So Dr. Ayers, now that we've reviewed some data on the safety and logistics of MCBs, let's talk about guidelines. The American Society for Parenteral and Enteral Nutrition, or ASPEN, 2024 Multi-Chamber Bag Practice Tool notes that MCBs can be safer, less expensive, and useful in shortages. And the European Society for Clinical Nutrition and Metabolism, or ESPEN, says that ready-to-use prepared and adapted commercial MCBs are an effective option for home parenteral nutrition. With all of that in mind, how are these guidelines shaping clinical practice, and how widely are they being adopted?
I think anytime you look at adding a new product to a formulary, you want to look at guideline-directed therapy. So it's always nice to have organizations like ASPEN and ESPEN there to hang your hat on, if you will. What we've seen, again, in the U.S., we've seen an increase in the use of multi-chamber bags, and especially in some of our smaller institutions that maybe where it's cost prohibitive for them to compound or even to outsource. I think they're certainly a viable option, and I think those guidelines would also support that as well. From a home standpoint, it's interesting that we're starting to see actually a little bit of an uptick in the home environment as well. They're very helpful for traveling for those home patients on PN. The use of multi-chamber bags really can be a lifesaver because trying to travel with some of these products can be very difficult. So having that where they can activate the bag themselves during travel is very important. And we're also seeing that we can oftentimes maybe meet the needs on a daily basis of some of these home patients as well, utilizing multi-chamber bags. And it's interesting that you mentioned ESPEN, because the Europeans do have more formulations than we have multi-chamber bags, at least at this point. And hopefully down the road, we're going to see some more options in the U.S.
And if we continue talking about clinical implementation, ASPEN's practice tool also notes that institutions should develop policies and procedures regarding MCBs, as well as conduct extensive educational training on their use. With that being said, what safety considerations should we keep in mind when it comes to MCBs, and how can we best educate staff, patients, caregivers on proper applications?
I think one of the key takeaways is realizing that this is parenteral nutrition. Even though it's a standardized commercially available product, we still need to treat it as we would compound parenteral nutrition. It's really important. It's still a high-risk medication, whether it's multi-chamber or whether we compound it. So it's very important to have those policies, procedures in place, and these should be activated using aseptic techniques. So in other words, in the pharmacy, USP 797 compliant. Any additives to these products should be done under aseptic conditions as well. And in terms of administration, I think it's very important that anybody involved in this process, pharmacists, physicians, nurses, need to understand that these products need to be activated by pharmacy. And then all the administrative policies, procedures should be in place as well. Sometimes patients may not receive the entire bag because these come in various volumes. And so to meet their needs, you may not give that entire volume. So it's very important that policies, procedures state that this bag not hang over 24 hours. So being sure that everyone understands that. Also being sure that all the appropriate additives are being added to the MCBPN. So for instance, multivitamins and trace elements. If we're using a two-chamber bag with just amino acids and dextrose, we need to be sure we're also giving these patients intravenous lipid emulsions as well, or they can develop essential fatty acid deficiency. So being sure all those things are in place are really important. Filtering is also something else that should be part of your policy procedure. And for nurses and even caregivers and patients in administering this, they need to understand that these products should be filtered as well.
Before we wrap up our program, Dr. Ayers, I'd like to ask you one more question. What strategies or recommendations would you offer to help clinicians and institutions effectively transition from customized compounding to MCB systems?
Yeah, again, a question I get asked quite often. So I make the recommendation that you look at your patient population and the acuity of your patient, and you look at what formulations that we have available in the U.S. and will they meet that patient population? not only their nutritional needs, their protein caloric needs, but also their electrolyte needs as well. So one thing I recommend to a lot of clinicians is that they do a medication use evaluation and see exactly what their patients are getting currently. If they're doing compounding PN, maybe the average amount of protein, calories, what the electrolytes look at, and see if the formulations fit. And oftentimes you will find that really is the case, that they will fit your patients. And so you may be able to incorporate. Some people have chosen to do a hybrid where they're using multi-chamber bag PN for a number of their patients, maybe still customizing for patients where a multi-chamber bag PN does not meet the appropriate need. So again, I think looking at it on an individual basis in your facility and your institution, looking maybe at a medication use evaluation and the current needs of your patients would be a wise way to approach potentially the use of multi-chamber bag parenteral nutrition in your institution.
That's a great comment for us to think on as we come to the end of today's program. I want to thank my guest, Dr. George Philip Ayers, for joining me to discuss how we can improve parenteral nutrition safety with multi-chamber bag solutions. Dr. Ayers, it was great having you on the program.
Thank you, Dr. McDonald. It's great to be with you as well. I appreciate your time.
You've been listening to GI Insights, and this episode was sponsored by Fresenius Kabi. To access this and other episodes in our series, visit GI Insights on ReachMD.com, where you can be part of the knowledge. Thanks for listening.